welcome to the Inside Query Bhutan podcast, where today we'll be doing a special episode called Fightcast, where we talk about movies. So, would my participants like to introduce themselves?
Hello, my name is Sangalore, and I used to pronounce they, them, they're it. And yeah, that's who I am.
Hi everyone, my name is Pramadoji, and my pronouns are he, she, and they.
And I am your host for today, Tenerichimanchu, but I go by Ray, and my pronouns are he and they. So, firstly, let's talk about your first memory of queerness in movies.
For me, the first movie that I can remember is the movie called Maurice. It's actually a movie with Hugh Grant, and I've never imagined Hugh Grant in a very queer role. It was very exciting. For me, it was my coming of age movie for me, because when I watched the movie, I remember hiding my laptop from my sister and they probably thought I was watching something explicit, but I remember turning this side and that side because I didn't come out that time. And I remember, you know, but in the movie, Hugh Grant is this, they're both students at Oxford. And then, you know, suddenly Hugh Grant and the other guy's name is Maurice. So he is in love with Maurice, and he realizes that, and he's kind of like, oh, I love you. But then after realizing, he gets afraid of society. And it turns out that Maurice is more open than Hugh Grant. So it turns out there's a lot of turn of events in the movie. It really unveiled some emotions for me, made me realize a lot about, you know, my identity. So that was my first memory.
That's cute, but I was thinking... Why did you have to hide it from your sister? Why did you feel that?
It was during my phase of being confused with my identity. And usually in that phase, you don't want people to know that you're queer or gay.
Did you think that it was wrong in a sense? Or did you just feel like the need to hide it?
Yeah, because I grew up knowing it was wrong. That's why I hid it.
I see. Internalized homophobia. So move on to Benoit.
For me, I think my experience is completely different than Sangye. I'm someone, I think... who had seen queer characters for the very first time in, let's say, movies or television, was towards the late 90s and early 2000s. So it was something, I think, quite disturbing if I look back at it, because for me, I think those characters were very caricatures, where like it was a point that I think people still have this notion about the community, especially feminine gay men being in a certain way. So for me, I think the very first memory of seeing queer characters, especially on movies or television, was like the caricature one. I mean, since it was mostly, I think, regional film, like film from, let's say, Bollywood. And even to a certain extent, our Bhutanese movies as well, where this character was used as a comedic relief. And in a way, I also remember that after the impact of these movies, where like I used to often get bullied in school because the other children thought that it was okay because we have seen this similar person like me on screen being funny.
That's true.
So it's okay to make fun of me as well and bully me. So it was not a very pleasant one.
I understand that, because my first memory of queer characters were actually the same ones in Bhutanese media, where they would, like, you know, they would be feminine and they would be talking a really high-pitched voice and they would wear the wigs. It would be basically caricatures. They would be people to be mocked, to be laughed at, right? It wasn't like actual queer representation. So I do understand that. And then when I grew up, I was like, wow, is this really who I am, you know? Because I knew at a young age that I was, you know, not straight. So I think seeing this representation was really, it affected me too. So I do understand that point. But if I don't consider this my first queer memory, I would say Mean Girls. Damien was my first queer, like, representation, I would say. He was very blatantly gay, and I knew that. So it was really fun. Yeah. So let's move on to the next part. So who's your favorite queer actor? Let's start with you, Pimbo.
For me, my favorite queer actor.
Or actress, could be anyone.
Actress or anyone. I mean,
or it could be a queer character that you that was played in the movie.
For me, I mean, to tell you very honestly, in terms of the actor and actress, I don't keep track of it. For me, I think what matters is like the characters they portray on screen. So the characters that they portray on screen leaves a much bigger, I think, impact on me, an impression on me, rather than the person behind it, regardless of the sexuality. So for me, I mean, I often get this question asked that people always ask that who is your favorite queer actor or actress or even celebrity. So generally, I don't keep track of it because for me, I mean, why to just label them as queer celebrities or something like that? I think after all, at the end of the day, these people are entertainer, actor. They are also like part of the entertainment industries and all that. So for me, I mean, but apart from that, there are many characters that has left a very, very huge impact on me. I think if you're talking about the very recent movie that I've seen, that was like, it is a Pakistani film, named Joyland, where there's a character of Biba, and she was actually played by a transgender actress. I think Alina Khan. I might be wrong. I think it's Alina Khan. So the character of Biba, how fierce she is, and in terms of establishing an identity away from what was the norm for especially the trans community in, let's say, in Pakistan or in an Iran region, which is usually associated with sex work.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that character, like literally, I mean, she was not shown as a victim, especially in this movie, away from the popular narrative of the community being victim. So for me, that character left a huge impression on me. She was very outspoken and she exactly knew what she wanted. So it was quite refreshing thing to see.
Empowering.
Mm-hmm. And quite empowering as well.
What about you, Rachel?
For me, I feel like my favorite queer actor is probably
Elliot Page.
Not really. I did watch Umbrella Academy and I did like his performance in there, but I would say the most impactful character is Dominique A.R. Jackson.
Pose,
yes. Oh, so she
Mother
plays
Electra.
Yes, she plays the character Electra and she becomes a mother. Like, how do I say it? She becomes, so this is set in the ballroom world, and she basically becomes a house mother, a drag mother of sorts. And she is a very empowering character where she becomes this empowering woman from a really poor, you know, background. You know, she becomes the person that people look up to, you know, and she becomes the mother that she takes care of people. So I found her and her character very empowering, Electra. So I do recommend Pose to people who do want to watch and learn about ballroom.
Yeah, I think I do also feel same about that series as well. It was quite groundbreaking series, and especially in terms of, again, coming back to the trans representative, I think it was like for the very first time, there was like huge ensemble cast, the largest ensemble cast of the trans identifying actor, and let's say actress as well. So it was quite a revolutionary, I think. There's something inside my heart, a desire. I want Mother Electra to come and read me to filth.
Same. The way she just reads everyone to filth. It's the way she plays her character. Okay, you can search up Google compilations. You can search up YouTube compilations of Mother Electra reading people to filth, and you will find it. And it's very enjoyable to watch.
I think it would be an honor for me to be read by her. And then that series, I mean, like, especially the character projection of Mother Electra, I mean, like, she starts as someone who is dependent on a man.
Yes.
As someone, I think, let's call her a sugar baby.
Mm.
And as the series progresses, as the season progresses, we've seen she coming into her own as a businesswoman and as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And someone, I think, who has this, I think, in keeping the times when the series was set, period, the series had the audacity to dream bigger than what her limitation was, I mean, and finally able to find a success, I mean, towards the end, and the role becomes reversed. Now, I think she's giving a male lover instead of her being a male, instead of her being a companion or lover in the first season. And that trajectory of like her finally able to have this success and see that like she doesn't have to depend on men for
yes.
And that was like quite empowering, I mean. And she was my favorite character from the series.
Yes.
I want a spin-off series exclusively focusing on the origin story of Mother Elektra.
Yes, when she was young, because we do get a glimpse on her and her mother's relation.
At very, very few glimpses. I think that was not enough.
Yeah, that was not enough. We need more of that.
And that episode broke my heart, I mean.
Because also, Pose is really good because it talks about a lot of queer things. It's not just Mother Elektra, okay? There's a lot of like nuances that Pose talks about, from sex to HIV to how you come out, how you accept yourself, you know? Dancing, everything. Mm. It's a very multi-leveled, multi-faceted show. So you should definitely give it a watch. Mm. It's a very good watch, I would say, if you want to learn more about queer culture, you know? So yeah. What about you?
I think, to be very generic, the characters who live such normal lives in movies, I think those are the characters that really leave an impact in my life.
Yes.
Recently, I watched this Disney film. It was quite new, called Strange World. So the whole plot is based on how they're living inside a huge animal. Spoiler alert for those who want to watch. But
yeah, just skip right now. Yeah,
I just seen that same exact movie this morning. So
oh yeah, and in that movie, you know,
I just see the trailer as well.
The main character's son is gay, and then the way we know he's gay, it's so normal. You know, the parents are not being too accepting, too giving, too tokenistic. You know,
it's very normal.
It's like, you know how parents are when they find out their children's dating someone. They're like excited. They want to be, you know,
no more.
Yeah. You know. I'm cool for you. I'm the cool dad. It was the same, you know, and there wasn't this extra thing there. So that was very normal. And to actually see a normalized queer life, it's something that leaves an impact on my life. So that's the kind of thing I like.
That's a really good point because, you know, and usually in queer movies, we do have to see very like over like glamorized versions of being queer sometimes, right?
Or be good or bad. Even like quite sad stories.
Yes.
Like most of the queer movies that I watch, tend to be quite sad. I think. Especially, I think everybody was raving about Danish Girl, but for me, I mean, I was not a very big fan of the movie. I mean, the performance itself. I mean, because for me, I think that was a role. I think that could be authentically played by, let's say, a transgender person, a trans woman person. So it was taken away. The opportunity was taken away from the potential. I think. And here I think the world is like praising Eddie Redmayne. Is that his name? I mean, except for being so bold to play a trans character. But that was nothing bold at all to begin with, I mean. So after all, it is just another story of another human being who is struggling with her gender identity in the midst of, let's say, in that particular setting. And has that, I think, I don't know, has that willingness or bold enough to go ahead and make that medical decision to transition.
Yeah.
And she, and according to records, I think she was the very first one, I think, who underwent medical transition and for SRS, gender reassignment surgery. So it was I like this story, but I cannot see the same thing about the actor being Eddie Redmayne, but I love Alicia Vikander in that movie.
The character, yes. Yeah. Queer up can be normalized or it can be really sad, but it's really nice to see some just like, hey, I'm gay, whatever. You know, it's nice to have that. So, moving on. What is a favorite queer movie currently? That's a current watch for y'all.
Oh, I just Googled right now. So, you know, during the time Lunala got featured and we got the list for the nomination. So that time I also saw another movie called Flea, and I was looking at that movie and I was like, oh, it's Oscar nominated, right? So it was Oscar nominated and I was like so excited. And I was like, oh, what is it about? So it's about this, spoiler alert, it's about this man who flees from Afghanistan to, I think, who lives currently in the US. Because during Afghanistan there was this war and he had to be, how you say?
I think he was, he's based in Netherlands.
No. It's in Afghanistan.
No. I think, yes, the character, the main character, of course, has to escape from Afghanistan after the Taliban attack, but he went and settled in Netherlands.
And then, you know, US, yeah, I think. A triggering part of this is that, you know, he gets human trafficked into other countries, right?
Yes.
First, his brothers go and his sisters go, and every month his family sending money for him to be trafficked, which is quite interesting. And the best part of this movie is that the person who wants to tell this story wants to tell this story anonymously. So the movie is, at some point, it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him, but his name is changed, so no one knows it's exactly him. So it's a story about someone in this world. So that's something I really liked, the way the movie was created.
That gave me goosebumps.
Mm. It did.
So, while Tema Googles his movie currently, I will be talking about mine.
No, I just want to know the name of this director. I mean, he's a Bengali director, but he was very open about his sexuality, and he made some really, really great movies in Bengali. But since we are not familiar with the language, so it's very difficult for me to pronounce those movies' name. The director name is Rituparno Ghosh. And he has made like really good movies, I think. I'm not saying all of his movies are like quality movies, but he had made around a bunch of them, I think a bunch of them that deals explicitly with queer issues. And I think, I'm Googling and trying to know the name of the movie, because I know that when I say the movie name, I'm really going to mess it up. So I just want to say it properly. So
it's good to have some representation from queer directors themselves, you know, because we don't have much of that usually. Usually, like, queer stories are usually from a straight perspective sometimes, and, you know, it's nice to have that queer representation. So while Pema Googles, I will talk about my favorite movie currently. It's actually Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So this is a story about a mother and a daughter. Yeah, it won an Oscar. Michelle Yeoh, you know, she plays Evelyn. And, you know, this was a game changer for me as a queer Asian, you know, because it deals with a lot of like trauma that us Asian people have, you know. It shows you the Asian dynamic of families, right? And like, it hit hard because sometimes my mom and I are like that, you know, and I understand that, like, I it was really like eye-opening when I watched it, because my mom and I have a very similar relationship, you know, because sometimes we don't understand each other, and sometimes there's a lot of like misunderstandings, but then we still love each other, right? So when I first watched this movie, I didn't really, how do I put it this way, but I didn't really feel as if this movie, I didn't connect to it at first, actually, because I thought it was just another movie about people traveling from one place to another. I didn't realize the nuances of, you know, being an Asian family. But then as I rewatched it the second time, I was like, oh, I understand. You know, at the end of the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is not what I thought it was. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, now I get it. So it did take me a rewatch, but then now it's one of my favorite queer movies, because, you know, you should really watch it. This is a recommendation. It also won an Oscar, so you know it's good when it wins an Oscar.
Something I really liked about that movie is the how possibilities are, you know, represented.
Yes, so many.
So knowing that in one life, you know, she's a really caring mother. In another life, she's really cool. In another life, she has those sausage fingers.
Yeah, sausage fingers.
And then she's lesbian, right?
Hmm?
She's a lesbian in one of the movies. So it makes me think about my own life. And like, oh, in one life, I might be transgender myself. In one life, I might be dating a girl.
One life, I might be straight.
So all those multiverse. And I think that's where it kind of opened my mind on identities as well. Because thinking about the multiverses out there and thinking, oh, in any world, I can be anyone.
Yeah.
And that's the freedom that we have.
Yes. That's because in this world, you can be anyone you want as well. So
yes.
So Tema, what's your favorite movie currently?
I'll just come back to the movies that I've seen. I have already talked about that. Is like for me, I think movie watching experience can be in two ways. For me, I think I watch movie for entertainment. I think the entertainment movies can be, let's say, last time I watched Avatar: The Way of Water, I think, which is quite entertaining and all that. But on the other hand, there's certain times when I watch movies expecting an impact, or have this conversation in my head about what is the movie about or how the movie relates to me. So I'll again come back to Joyland. I think despite the movie being a 2002, I think 2022 movie, and it was also, I think, Pakistan's official entry for the 95th Academy Award for the Best International Film, but sadly it didn't get nominated. But for me, I think that movie was like really, really, I think, impactful in a way that I think the commentary about the patriarchy, and we can clearly see how does it affects through these two characters. I mean, we are talking about Haider, the male character in the movie, I think, who lives under a very strict patriarchal family under his father, who is head of the family. It's under him, and under which, I think, and on the other hand, the same patriarchy is affecting Biba, I think, who is a transgender, I think, dancer who wants to establish an identity and be a performer as in the erotic trans theater because she feels that that work will bring her fame. On top of that, also will bring the security which the current job as a sex worker and beggar in Lahore, the city which the movie is based in.
Why is it called Joyland?
So it is a very I don't know, it can be interpreted in many ways. I think the actual mention of Joyland comes when Haider's wife and his brother's wife go together to an amusement park where they have heart-to-heart conversation about their life. And despite being so highly educated and have skills, but due to patriarchy, they are not allowed to work. So that park is also named Joyland. But on the other hand, it can be also come back to the theater itself, the erotic theater where people come. I think because despite whatever we say, I think the country itself is a very, I'll not say all of them, but majority of them are conservative Muslims. So but these same men, I think, who claims that they are like very staunch Muslim or religious person, comes to this theater and enjoy performance by a woman, I think, dancing to, gyrating to very erotic songs. So for them, I think, can be Joyland as well. So it can be interpreted in a way, or even you can see to the character of Haider and Biba herself. I mean, for Haider, I think, that erotic theater where he gets employed as a backup dancer for Biba, it's where he can come and like discover himself and explore himself. So maybe that can be a Joyland for him as well. And of course, for Biba, I think, that is a place, I think, where she gets to show her talent, I think, and talent which the world is like so ignoring to see the moment she steps out of the theater. So it can be interpreted in so many ways.
I agree, and that's really cute. Like, I like the way it's, it can be interpreted in so many ways. So, last question for the day. What do you think queer movies or like queer representation in movies have impacted you as a person?
Start with you.
Me? Well, I feel like, as a person, I feel like I do take a lot of inspiration from queer movies, right? Like, all the things I say, all the way I behave, you know, my fashion sense, my sense of humor. I feel like they all come from, you know, queer movies, I would say. I like movies in general, but then mostly queer movies, because, like, I love Mean Girls, right? And like, I feel like most of my humor comes from there, like, again, Mean Girls is iconic. Like, the jokes in Mean Girls, like, it's very queer. It's very popular in the queer people community, right? So, you know, I feel like, as a person, queer movies have impacted me to become who I am because I tend to get my jokes, my humor from, and my personality from queer movies. So, I feel like queer representation is good in a way that, like, you know, it helps me, like, navigate what I like and what I don't like as well. And, you know, it also helps me realize that love, about things about love, sex, money, you know, life, right? I feel like queer representation in movies help me relate to life sometimes, right? Because I can't relate to straight people all the time. And I can't relate to gay people all the time. But obviously sometimes knowing that that person is queer is nice, you know? So yeah. What about you?
For me, the first time I ever saw a queer movie, I felt kind of saved, you know? Because it's like, you see yourself in that movie and you're like, oh,
yeah.
So it's not wrong. Yeah, first new realization is that. And you know how street people have so many personalities? Yeah. We always think, okay, I always thought, you know, before I watched the movie, oh, gay people, it should act in a certain way. But then when I watched more and more movies, I see...
different kinds.
Yes. I never thought a masculine gay man could exist. But after watching the movie, I was like, oh, the personalities, the way people are... it's the same because we're all human beings, you know?
Yes.
It's just that it's a part of our sexual identity, our sexual orientation. Yeah. That's the only part where we're different. But other ways, you know, we can have so many, how you say, I grew up only looking at squares, but now I can see more shapes than I did before. Wow.
Wow. That's inspirational. What are you, Bella?
For me, I mean, we, through our initiative and work from Kuwait vs. Bhutan, we always talk about representation. So in a way, I mean, someone, I think, who actually values representation.
Mm.
And like I said towards the beginning of the podcast, that like where I come from, I mean, in terms of seeing representation of the queer characters on the mainstream media. So for me, I think it is very important, I mean, like to have a representation to begin with. But not only just for having representation's sake, but having authentic representation of the community as a human being possible, of like emotion, and like just being normal human, just like every human being on this planet Earth. I mean, like, we also capable of that. So, and just imagine, I mean, like, I just remember right now, I think, when I think it was like when the series Glee came out for the very first time. So
I forgot about that.
For me, I mean, I think that time, I think the internet was non-existent. Mm. So there was only one television channel that used to show that series.
Yeah.
So during the daytime, I used to be in school. So, but they used to do the repeat telecast around 2 a.m. in the morning. I mean, so do you know? I mean, like, I used to wait till 2 a.m. in the morning just to see, not to see the series, but just to see Kurt. But, and of course, I think in the season 2, Blaine as well.
And Naya too. Naya Rivera, who plays Santana. She's also
and their love story. I mean, for me, I mean, like that. And now I'm, when I look back at it, so that time I was like desperately craving for some kind of authentic representation, which would tell me that whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm expressing, is very completely normal. And I, as a queer person, is capable of being loved and loving back as well. So, and because of that, what I feel, it's like queer representation is very important. I mean,
yes.
And not only, we shouldn't only stick to the representation part, because nowadays, I mean, with the advancement of the queer movement in both inside the country and of course around the world, I mean, we do get sit, we do have a so-called place on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when it comes to like narrating our very, I think, authentic experiences, I think that's what's lacking, because just like how commercialization work, I think in a way, I think the community, the portrayal of communities also tends to be really, I think exploited.
Yeah.
And they're again, putting us into boxes of what they expect us to behave and like express. And I think in a way, I feel that which can be clearly seen through the BL series, how boy love is like fetishized.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, by the way, like, not only push for representation, but let's push for authentic representation. Yes. I mean, and we can clearly see in our country as well, I think, in a way, I mean, not all, but very few Buddhist filmmakers such as, I think, Upasana Dahal.
Mm.
And of course, Chan. Director Chan, if we meet the movie Tempo, and of course Upasana is like
Moonflower,
or like
Moonflower. I do recommend Moonflower for everyone. It's on Samu.
So we can also see, I think these are like the character of like especially the character played by Dishan Seldon. I forgot her name, in the movie Tempo. It's like it's so refreshing to see the community being portrayed and showcase in that light as a human being capable of feeling love and like being able to love back, and the hurt they experience when they have rejection. I mean, so in a way, I mean, like, representation is quite important. I mean, for so that like maybe the young Pema Dorje in, let's say, in a rural part of the country do not have to go through the same experience I went through of not by not having authentic representation and like constantly I think like questioning myself about me being not normal and might be end up alone, die alone. So yeah, I think it's quite important.
When it comes to Glee, I recently watched the scene where she sings If I Were a Boy. It starts in the bathroom, no? And we have our own memories in bathrooms. Our own trauma in bathroom. And I remember, and I was like, as soon as I saw the bathroom, I knew.
I knew it.
And then it kind of brought back some memories. I think you should watch that. It's in YouTube. Yeah. Yes, so I think that part really showed me a lot.
If you just look up queer, like, if you just Google queer representation movies, you'll find a lot. By the way, there's and the 20, this is 2023. There's so many out there. You should just
have internet.
Yeah, just you can just Google and you'll find a lot. We've told you our recommendations, and I hope you watch them. Happy Pride Month!
Happy Pride Month!
Pride Month!
And this is us three from Queer Voices of Town signing off.
Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye.